Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Beat. It was not a particularly jolly Christmas for Mikel Arteta and his players, as back-to-back defeats against West Ham and Fulham dented their title challenge before the turn of the year. Fear not though, listeners, as the January transfer window is upon us, and here at the Arsenal Beat we have form for picking just the right players to join the club. Joining me, Mark Van Bryan from PA, to open up their fantasy checkbooks are Simon Collins from the Evening Standard and the Telegraph, Sam Dean. We will also be joined throughout by a host of names, all of whom cover regularly the club, and they've selected their own January signings too. Some fantasy, some logical, some a bit different, shall we say. Guys, we'll get to the transfer window shortly, but just a quick look back over the last couple of games. Sam, after the loss at Craven Cottage on New Year's Eve, Mikel Arteta said he was much more concerned about that defeat than the one at home to West Ham 3 days earlier. Do you see where he's coming from?
Yeah, completely. I actually think the West Ham performance was pretty good. I think the level of dominance that Arsenal showed, the level of sort of chance creation was pretty good. I know towards the end it kind of dried up a bit, but they made more than enough chances to win that game. And for me, that was a finishing issue and a sort of penalty box issue rather than any kind of systemic coaching problem that you could kind of pin on Arteta's door. Fulham was completely the opposite, I think. I think that was a real kind of across the pitch, a struggle, a poor performance. And I think what was most alarming was the kind of lack of any kind of spark. And that word spark is one that Arteta used after West Ham, when he said, you know, there's no way a team lacking spark could create what we created tonight and dominate the game that we did tonight. But I think against Fulham, spark was the word that was really relevant. And also, I know it's cliche, and it's been the case for about 20 years now. And generally, I think in the last 3 or 4 years, Arsenal have moved beyond being bullied and overpowered by teams. But yesterday, I thought they were. I thought Calvin Bassey, for example, for Fulham, won every physical battle. João Palhinha in midfield did the same. And even up front, Raul Jimenez as well, he was sort of causing a lot more problems for Saliba and Gabriel than most strikers normally do. So it felt a little bit like Arsenal lost a physical battle yesterday. And then with each one of those that got lost, they found themselves more and more on the back foot.
Simon, it's an interesting one, isn't it? But what do you put it down to? Because obviously we were looking at a team that were top of the league a few weeks ago. What's causing the issues? Is it as simple as just saying, you know, these players are tired, or is there more to it than that?
I think tiredness is a big factor personally. I thought they looked really, really sort of jaded and quite sluggish against Fulham. And, you know, Fulham did have a few extra days. Rest would have helped. And I had a look at the Premier League minutes for today, just to sort of see how many they've played. And Saliba's played every single minute. Rice has missed around 50 minutes of Premier League games, and Saka's missed 135. But bear in mind, he obviously missed the Man City game. And they're probably the Arsenal sort of three key players, and all of them I thought were a bit off yesterday. So I do think the fatigue is a big element of it, and the calendar is kind in January with the fact they're going to have a break, a chance to go away. But also, I think there is, you know, an argument in the way they've sort of attacked all season. I think we've spoken on here probably about issues with it and it not quite functioning, not like looking right. And in the past, this season, they've been able to get away with it because the defence has been so strong and so reliant, and particularly from set pieces. But I think it's now 4 goals in 6 games from corners they've shipped after doing 1 in 14. So I kind of feel like all the sort of problems that we'd sort of mentioned were, you know, bubbling away have all come home to roost at exactly the same time at the busiest time of the season. And this is, if you're going to go through a blip, you don't want it now because you have to play so many games. But I think a big factor for them will be having a break. I really do think if they get a few weeks off and a chance to reset, it will do the squad a lot of good.
Sam, where do you stand with it all? Are there issues in this team? Are there issues with the way Arteta's playing? The other thing I wanted to bring up is substitutions. Seems to get a lot of criticism in the past couple of weeks for his substitutions. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, to answer your first question, I think the biggest attacking issue at the moment is Martinelli and Saka. For the past 18 months or since the start of last season, both of them have generally been on it and dangerous and delivering in the final third. And when one of them hasn't been on it, invariably the other has. You know, if Saka didn't get you last year, then Martinelli probably would. I think right now, in the last kind of 3 or 4 weeks, we're seeing for the first time both of those players being off form. And I think that's really killing Arsenal's attack. And I know we'll come on to talk about transfers, but you look at that squad and there aren't really any like-for-like alternatives to Saka and Martinelli who play the way they do. Obviously, people will flag up Trossard, but he operates in a different way. He comes inside, looks for those pockets of space. And I don't think, you know, for all that Rhys Nelson is a bit of a fan favourite for his kind of affiliation with the club, I think he obviously hasn't shown yet that he is ready to contribute regularly for a team pushing for the top of the table. So there's an issue there. I think Arsenal need one of Saka or Martinelli at least to be properly on it. And right now, neither of them are. And secondly, answer to your question on substitutions. I mean, I think people would understandably want to see more of Smith Rowe, who I thought looked quite sharp against West Ham. Obviously, Gabriel Jesus came on after not starting yesterday, but they don't have, in my view, a huge amount of attacking depth right now, ways of changing the game. And something like putting Havertz up top, for example, would be something that I think would be reasonable to try at the moment. I mean, in the past two games, they've gone 3-5-2 in both matches, and on neither occasion has it worked. So Arteta clearly sees a need to change things up, but I'm not entirely convinced he has enough options to do so currently, especially when you look around at the other title challenges. And I mean, you look at the front five Liverpool have got and compare it to Arsenal's, and it's a different kettle of fish, really. And that's true of City too. So at times like this, when your key men aren't firing, that's when your depth comes into play. And I don't think Arsenal quite have enough at the moment.
On the discussion of options, I don't think I'm going to use it in the end, but when do you think, and I hope I've got this right, was the last time that Rhys Nelson started a Premier League game for Arsenal?
Oof. Did he start any last season?
I don't think he started any last season. He came off the bench against Forest last year.
Bournemouth, famously.
He started for Unai in the first game against Burnley in 2019-20 season, but that can't have been his last league start.
This is like a reverse guess.
Yes, the Gouda, yeah. If I am correct, which I think I was right looking at it, it was July 2020 the last time he started a Premier League game.
Against Liverpool? Is that when he scored?
Yes, yeah. And I think that's right. I'd have to double check it. But I mean, that sort of tells you everything you need to know about options, doesn't it? The last time that, you know, there's no real alternative. And I read Sam's piece today and he sort of mentioned it. The sort of constant try and attempts to sign a winger, clearly that they feel it's a position that they need strengthening. And it's a difficult one to do, I think, because you're trying to bring in someone who you think is going to be able to compete with Martinelli and Saka, which I think Trossard does, but in a different way. You know, I think he changes your style a lot. Whereas, you know, I think when you look at someone like City, when they're in their absolute sort of pomp and winning trebles, their ability to basically be like, well, you know, Mahrez isn't really at it, we'll just hook him off for, you know, another brilliant win comes off the bench. That ability just to bring it like, I think Arsenal don't have that yet. And I'm sure we'll come on to who we think they should get, but I think that is a major issue.
Right. In the past, the Arsenal beat has correctly predicted the signings of both Martin Odegaard and Gabriel Jesus, as well as a few near misses along the way too. This year, hopefully, will be no different. Sam, Simon and myself will be pitching some names shortly, but let's start with a number of our special guests who have their own ideas as to who Arsenal need to go out and buy in January. Here we have Ian Abrahams from TalkSport, The Athletic's James McNicholas and Carrie Brown of beIN Sport to kick things off.
Hi, I'm Ian Abrahams from TalkSport. Quite simply, I think Arsenal have to go and sign Ivan Toney. He's just had his feet up for the last 6 months. He scores goals in the Premier League. He never misses a penalty. And Arsenal need his kind of ruthlessness in front of goal. I know it costs a lot of money, around about 80, 90, even £100 million. I know Arsenal spent an awful lot of money in the summer, but the Premier League title doesn't come cheap, and Arsenal shouldn't be cheapskates now. It has to be Ivan Toney from Brentford.
Hi there, it's James McNicholas here from The Athletic. My fantasy signing for Arsenal this January would be Pedro Neto of Wolves. I know there's some concerns about depth in other areas of the pitch, but for me, the most pressing need in the squad is a viable alternative to Gabriel Martinelli and Bukayo Saka, someone who can give them a bit of rest, can come in when they're out of form, who can come on in the later stages of games. And Pedro Neto can play on either flank. He's the right age, fit with the style of play. I think would be a great, great signing for Arsenal. So, yeah, that would be my pick.
It's fantasy, so Mbappe, you need the goals, and everyone wants to see him in the Premier League. But I think if he goes anywhere, he'll be protecting his ankles and going to Real Madrid. Militao in defence, it's fantasy. He's not fit, obviously recovering from injury, but oh my goodness, how fabulous would he be? But Arsenal have Durian Timber, who is world-class. But yeah, you need depth in the bench and you need options there. I'm going to go for a really sensible, less fantasy, because I think that's what Arsenal fans want right now. And my goodness, bring in Calvin Phillips, because him and Declan Rice are brilliant together. He is available. But yeah, it's fantasy, because Pep is not going to give him to Arteta, because he'll make him fly.
Guys, as we go along, we'll pick and choose a few of the names that come up to discuss. A lot come up again and again, believe it or not, and most of them are strikers. James there obviously suggesting Neto, which touches on what you guys were just saying about Saka and Martinelli. But the one I wanted to highlight was Carrie's call of Calvin Phillips. Now, I know Newcastle seems to be very much on the front foot with that one. But Sam, what would your thoughts be if Arsenal suddenly managed to turn that around and get him in? Is that the kind of midfield player they need, or do they need something different?
Well, it's quite an interesting one, because at the time he joined City, I remember thinking, oh, he'd be a really good signing for Arsenal. And I remember thinking he's the sort of player, and with the Premier League experience and England international, who would really fit in nicely to the squad, especially because he's very good mates with Ben White as well. So we'd have that sort of social element nailed down nice and quickly. But you have to look at what's happened at City and kind of worry. Because it's not like he's like on the fringes of City. He's just not featuring at all. Like he's, you know, Zinchenko and Jesus were important players for City, but not the stars. And they came to Arsenal to become the stars. Phillips is not even relevant at City, which sounds very blunt, but it's what the reality is. And you have to look at that and think he clearly is not at the required level for City. And that is the level that Arsenal are trying to get to and trying to compete with. So based on that, and the fact that Guardiola and Arteta obviously have very similar views on the game, I'd have to be anxious about it. But what I would say is, if he goes on loan to, say, Newcastle for 6 months and looks good and finds his form and rebuilds his fitness, then I think that would certainly be an interesting one for them to look at in the summer. But right now, I'd be reluctant, just based on how little he's done for City.
Time now for Arsenal beat regular Kai Kainak of Football London, who clearly ignored the memo about length. But because we like him, let's hear his views on January transfer targets.
Hi there, it's Kaya Kainak of Football London here for you, giving you my January transfer dream picks. And seeing as you lot are being sports and not letting me have Erling Haaland on loan, I am going to try and keep it within the realms of possibility. I'm starting at the back, and I think that's probably the area where Arsenal are weakest at the minute. And the problem is, of course, the lack of funds. So you're looking financially for a viable option, and I have, with my limited scouting abilities, been able to track down Ousmane Diamande of Sporting Lisbon. He is a player who is 20 years old, playing very well for Sporting right now, doing pretty well as they're topping the Liga NOS in Portugal. And let's be real, a real talent. Played against Arsenal last season, actually, in the Europa League when Sporting beat them. And Sporting play in a back three. He plays on the right-hand side of a back three. Bit similar to what Ben White did at Brighton, similar to Tomiyasu when he was at Bologna, and a bit similar to what Timber has done for the Netherlands in the past. And I just think that could be an option. He could play right back. And financially, Sporting have shown a willingness in the past to do loans with a view to buy. They did it with Pedro Porro last season, where he was on loan initially. And then Spurs obviously paid $40 million for him in the summer. And I wonder if that kind of deal might be something Arsenal want to look at going forward for this season. beyond that, you're starting to look at the forward positions. And after, I think, really disappointing defeat to West Ham, Arsenal are really in need of a forward. But of course, there's no money. So what do? You turn to free transfers. And I'm going for a bit of a rogue one here. I'm fully prepared to be called crazy, and I can live with that because I think it is quite a crazy suggestion. And, you know, hold your shock after hearing this name. But Jesse Lingard's on a free, and he's done it already. Coming in for the second half of the season at West Ham, did really well there. 9 goals in 16 games, was really impressive in that short burst. And I wonder if you can get him firing. It's a big if, and he's coming off the back of no football for 6 months, and he was very, you know, not impressive at Nottingham Forest last season. But if you can get him firing, there is a real player in there. And I just wonder if maybe there's a bit of a final third edge that he could bring to this Arsenal side. Something a little bit different. Can play anywhere across the front line as well. So it could be a useful body to have. Can play in midfield too. So on a short-term deal until the end of the season. And then you go and you get someone proper in the summer. But I don't know. It makes a bit of sense to me. And then long-term, I'm starting to think towards the midfield, because I think Elneny, as much as, you know, Mark Manbryes will hate me saying this, I think he might be on his way out in the summer. Thomas Partey looks to his Arsenal days are numbered. Jorginho is obviously the wrong side of 30 as well, even if Arsenal do decide to extend his contract. And I think a player who they should really get, and a player who could be a really good foil for Declan Rice, is Martin Zubimendi of Real Sociedad. Big Sergio Busquets vibes from him. It wouldn't be easy to get him out of there. He's got, I think, a £55 million release clause. Arsenal are interested in him, and he's a very good player. I'd love him, I think, to play in the Arsenal team. I think he'd be a really, really strong addition to that squad. I think he'd make them a lot more competitive. But yeah, that's my slightly crazy transfer predictions, or dream transfers, if you like, for January. If you can call the signing of Jesse Lingard on a free short-term deal a dream. But yeah, that's what I've gone for. Cheers, guys. Goodbye.
Simon, we're not going to mention Jesse Lingard's name. But do you agree with Kyra at all about Arsenal being weakest at the back at the moment? When we've got a lot of the names coming out later on, and what we've talked about already is strikers. Do you think they are weak at the back, or is it injuries, or what do you make of that?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, because, and I kind of feel like it's chopped and changed in the build up to the window, that sort of, you know, Arsenal need a midfielder, they need a defender, need a striker. I think numbers wise, you can argue that they are shortest at the back, particularly because Partey being out has sort of styled them with another option there. And I do think if they could get someone in on loan just to have another option in that defence, I think that is something that they would want to do. I think the dilemma they've got to weigh out, particularly when you're in that sort of financial position, is what do you think is going to get you over the line in the title race? Is it having another defender, or is it having another forward in attack? And for me, I don't know if these past two games have sort of changed my view, but my view always was, you know, the title sort of slipped away last season because of issues at the back, and there wasn't the depth at the back. So my thought was, you need to strengthen the defence. But, you know, watching the last two games, it's becoming harder to argue that point of view. So, I mean, maybe it's just go and do both, really.
And Lingard.
Yeah. All I'm going to say on Lingard is, look, I really like Kaya. But on the defence thing, Arteta's made it clear before that his dream squad is basically two players per position in the 4-3-3. And as it stands, Arsenal have got that. They've got 8 defenders for 4 positions, but one of them is Cedric Suarez, and he's clearly not in the plans, and he's out of contract this summer. So they have to get someone else in to replace him, if you will, or to add a number to it. And I also think that the issue they've got, for example, at Fulham yesterday was Zinchenko not being there really affects their build-up play. And I know he's not been defending particularly well at the moment, and he's getting some flack for that, which is understandable. But frankly, Jakub Kivior playing inverted left-back is not going to win you the league. And I think Arsenal saw that yesterday. So if you look at that squad, a player, they are short of options beyond what the, you know, the top four choices, really. So I can definitely see the logic in getting someone in, whether that's for the short term on loan, and then someone for the sort of longer term in the summer. And also, you have to say, let's not forget that not that long ago, there was a bit of doubt over Gabriel, and he wasn't in the team, and there was sort of murmurings about Saudi Arabia and interest from there. And I think we've reported it all before, but Arsenal was certainly looking at defensive options in the summer, like high-value defensive options. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if they are looking to strengthen their defence, either the sort of left side of it or get another centre-back in sooner rather than later.
Simon, I don't know if Kai has stolen your thunder with Jesse Lingard, but do you want to be the first of us three to give us your own January transfer signing?
Yes. So, I mean, I've written a lot of names down and I'll give a few. I've got two sensible names and two a bit more fanciful. In terms of the fantasy signings, the two I had were Michael Olise from Crystal Palace. Because I think he offers, you know, he's a match winner. He creates magic moments, can pull a rabbit out of a hat. And I think Arsenal don't really sort of have that type of winger who can just do something crazy and win a game. I think Saka does it in bits, but not as much. And the other one was Ollie Watkins, which I think is, you know, very fantasy given Villa's form and the financial clout of that club. And then in terms of more realistic, the two I had were Ferran Torres from Barcelona, who Arteta will know from playing at Manchester City, doesn't seem to get loads of game time at Barcelona. And then the other one was João Felix, who Arsenal were linked with last January and were interested in before Chelsea put in a mad loan bid. There were some quotes from the Atletico president the other day sort of saying he might come back from his loan and we'll sort something else out. I mean, he seems to be getting minutes at Barcelona, but if for some reason he became available, I think him or Torres would be quite a sensible sort of loan signing for 6 months.
Lovely. Sam, thoughts? I like Torres for me. I like that as a shout.
Yeah, I like Torres. Torres works, I think, because he can definitely play right and left as well. And he knows the Premier League. He was pretty good here for City without being extraordinary. So I agree on that one. And also, the whole world knows about Barcelona's financial issues. So there might be a deal there to be done. Elise, I think, is a great shout. The cost of it, obviously, will probably be quite high. All sorts of murmurings of a release clause or whatever with a new deal. So you have to imagine he's gettable to a degree, but will be very expensive. And also the fear with him, and this is the issue with the wingers generally, is that it's so hard, and we mentioned it before, but it's so hard to pitch to players to come to Arsenal and play in the same position as Bukayo Saka, because everyone knows that Saka's the future of the club and the main man. He's got a huge contract and he's going to be around and he's going to be a regular starter always. I've not seen enough of Elise on the left wing or as a sort of 10 to know if he can play on both, but I totally agree that as a style of player and as someone who can break down deep blocks, Elise would be a great addition.
Right, next up, we start with Jordan Davies of The Sun, BBC Five Lives' George Cummings, and Issan Khan on the Daily Mail.
My sensible fantasy transfer picks for Arsenal next summer are Aston Villa defender Ezri Konsa and Brighton forward João Pedro. Konsa's in his prime years right now. He's an England international, would provide great cover and great competition as well for Gabriel and Saliba in the middle of that defence, and he'd probably cost around 45 to 50 million. As for João Pedro, you may say Arsenal need a number nine, but until that main man comes around and until he's available, you need flexibility across the front line, and Pedro provides that. He's a goal threat, he can create as well, and he could actually be relatively cheap, around 35 to 40 million at most. And my not so sensible suggestion in the summer would be to go all out for Marcus Rashford. He has pace, power, physique. All he needs is the right coach to transform him into an elite striker. And that man is Arteta, whether it's down the middle or coming in off the left. Just throw whatever money you have to lure him to London.
Hello, everyone. It's George at the BBC here. Hope you all had a good Christmas. Well, my fantasy signing, it'd have to be Kylian Mbappe. How good would it be to see him in the Premier League? But we know that's not going to happen. So, bit left field, I would love to see Evan Ferguson at Arsenal. I think he would be unbelievable. He reminds me of Wayne Rooney. him, Saka, Odegaard, Martinelli when he's back to form. I just think that would be great to watch. So my fantasy signing would be Evan Ferguson. Do I think it's going to happen? No, unless Arsenal sell some players, including one of your favourites, Mark Elneny.
Isan Kane for the Daily Mail. My Arsenal January fantasy signing would be Kylian Mbappe. Of course, in pre-season, there were very tenuous links between him and the club. But just imagine if Arsenal ever were to land him. It'd be a game changer, to say the least. Of course, at the minute, defensively, they look short, but that's largely because of injury. Midfield, once Partey returns, that area of the pitch is going to look solidified again. But arguably, what Arsenal lack, especially as seen against West Ham with them 30 shots resulting in 0 goals, is an out-and-out finisher in and around the box. And of course, Mbappe could be down the middle, down the left. And yeah, I'm sure he could definitely be the difference between winning a title or not. So yeah, it'd be frightening.
Sam, other than Jordan going for summer signings and George getting a ban from the pod for that Elneny slander, what do you make of those names going into the hat? Sorry.
Should we talk about Mbappe for a bit? Should we do it? Should we address the issue?
The Killian in the room.
The Killian in the room. Well, I mean, I think everyone knows that that's not going to happen, really, because the wages that he's going to demand are just going to be absolutely beyond belief and shatter the wage structure that Arsenal put in place, probably cause longer-term issues. And yes, there's no transfer fee, but I can imagine the signing-on fee would be rather substantial too for sign Mbappe as a free agent. But let's suspend the sort of financial reality for a moment. And the one thing I would say about the Mbappe situation is that if he's looking around Europe, and he might not look around Europe, he might look at Saudi Arabia, if he's looking around Europe at projects and clubs which he could go to, there aren't many. And I think Arsenal would be very much on the list of appealing ones. It's a young, up-and-coming club in London, great stadium, huge fan base. Thierry Henry factor. There's a lot there. There's a lot in Arsenal's favour when it comes to sort of comparing them to other clubs. And I know even when it got bad under Unai Emery and the start of Arteta, Arsenal always said, oh, you know, we're a very attractive club. We still have a big pull for big players. But I think the reality is that right now, as we saw with Declan Rice in the summer, that pull really is enormous. And you can certainly see the logic of trying to attract a world-class player. But yeah, I think just wages alone would just be just mind-boggling, and therefore can't see that one happening. But I do, yeah, as I say, the concept of Mbappe looking around Europe and seeing Arsenal as quite an intriguing one, I think is a very fair sort of point to make.
Yeah, it's weirdly not as fanciful as it would have been maybe if we'd said it on the pod 2 years ago. Do you know what I mean? It probably isn't going to happen, but it is part of the conversation now, probably rightly, especially if we're talking about, you know, not necessarily what's going to happen, but what we'd like to see happen. Another colleague who decided to surpass the 90-second requirement was Jordan Campbell of The Athletic, but he's been waiting to make his Arsenal Beat debut for about a year and a half, so I think we can forgive him.
Hi, it's Jordan Campbell here, who covers Arsenal for The Athletic. I don't think it takes a genius to work out where Arsenal can improve their starting 11. It's obviously a really strong team, but I think West Ham during the week was further proof that centre-forward is where you would ideally look to upgrade and add that real killer instinct in the team. So save for bringing back Robin Van Persie 10 years younger, I'm not sure there are many better options than Victor Osimhen at Napoli. Of course, he's probably out with Arsenal's budget right now, having just signed a new contract with Napoli, which would put his market price at well over £100 million. But I think if there were unlimited funds and you were able to bring him into the team, that would make a huge difference. 77 touches in the box the other day for Arsenal against West Ham without a goal. I think it's the only team since records began in the Premier League to have managed that feat. So I think that shows you the lack of firepower and, you know, the sort of nagging doubt that Gabby Jesus is not a killer in front of goal. He even sort of said that himself. He's really important to how Arsenal play, of course, but and I think he would still have a role to play, whether it was off the side or, you know, maybe playing behind the striker. But with teams doubling up on Martinelli and Saka, I think Arteta's belief in sharing the load and that you can actually outfire Haaland at City or Salah at Liverpool, I think we're starting to see that that does take a lot of optimism, and it takes every single game someone stepping up, and that's just not happening at times this season. So yeah, I think Osimhen would be an unbelievable signing for Arsenal. 6'1", obviously pivotal to Napoli winning the Scudetto for the first time in decades. Great in the air as well, which I think would help Arsenal be more unpredictable for wide positions where they could actually cross the ball without teams, you know, basically asking them to. And just for a bit of insight, I spoke to Calvin Bassey, who's obviously at Fulham now, but who plays with Osimhen at Nigeria at international level, and he said the guy's just an absolute joke. He said Osimhen's the only striker that he's ever faced or come up against that he thinks could run an entire Premier League defence on his own. That's how good he is. So, you know, I took that as further evidence that, you know, there's other guys like out there like Vlahovic, but Osimhen is a, you know, looks like he's got that killer instinct that would really make Arsenal, you know, really difficult to stop.
Simon, it's the first mention of Osimhen. It's a different attacking option, I suppose. Thoughts on that suggestion?
Yeah, I mean, I like it, which is, I suspect, what a lot of fans would say, and a lot of other reporters as well. I mean, the cost is going to be the main issue. You know, I think he's getting a release clause put in for sort of 115 million, but for me, and I would always say with Arsenal, when they're going to sign this striker now, it's a bit like what you sort of say to your wife when you're in the shop buying something. Just go and get what you actually want. Like, I don't feel like Arsenal should be making a signing and then in a year's time being like, oh, you know, we need to go and upgrade that again. We need to get a better one. Like, go now. And if Osimhen's the one they want, you know, this is the one they're convinced, like, right, he's the one who takes us to the next level. It's going to cost us, you know, 100 million. Then go get it done. And I think they should have the confidence to do that because of the way the Declan Rice deal is done. You know, obviously he was viewed and pitched him as being an absolute cornerstone of this team, that the midfield's going to be built around you. And he was the one they wanted more than anyone else. You know, that was the target they desired. And I think whoever they go for in this striker target, which is clearly, you know, a big position they need to fill, I just think they need to go for who they really want and be adamant. And if it's Osimhen and if it's going to be 100 million, go and pay the money and get it done.
Very much so. I'm a big fan of that. So I thought I'd chuck mine in next. My fantasy one, as we've mentioned a few times here, but Sam and I were walking from Highbury Islington to the West Ham game, kept talking about these options you'd have for Saka or for Martinelli. So I'd have to rule out my fantasy signing of Phil Foden. But instead, I went for the realistic signing of Douglas Luiz. Now, we know already that Arsenal are very much sniffed around him before. They're clearly a big fan of his and feel what he could do in that team. I think he'd supplement Rice really well in that midfield. You know, he's 25 years old, so he fits the age profile that Arsenal like. He's a Brazilian international, scores goals, not bags of goals, but he does score them, especially penalties, as we saw a few days ago. Arteta obviously knows him because he was within that City. I know he never really played games for City, but he was at City when Arteta was there. And again, it's that level now of you have to sign players that are going to improve your squad. And really, to only do that, they have to be proven Premier League players. And I think he's part of that Villa team that has looked so good this season under Emery. One of the ones that you could probably... There's probably three or four you could take out there and suddenly you go, this is a different team. And I generally think Douglas Luiz is one of those. So that would be my pick. Sam, I'm ready for you to pick that to pieces now, if you'd like.
No, I quite like it. I think the cost will be an issue, obviously, and the fact that Villa are doing really well and might well be in the top four is also an issue. I like it. I think he can play as a six, probably on his own, or he could probably play as an eight as well. He ticks a lot of boxes, and as you know, we know they like him already. We know that. I think it's a very realistic and reasonable shout. And I think that midfield evolution is going to be really interesting because obviously Partey will have a year left this summer. Uncertainty over his future. I think it's unlikely that Arsenal would turn down offers for him in the summer. Jorginho is technically out of contract but has a one-year extension. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Arsenal triggered that extension, and Mohamed Elneny's out of contract too. So as it stands, in the long term, that position is probably the one that needs the most sort of strengthening. It's not sort of one, or it's not just one player coming in like it is up front or in the back. It's at least two, and you could probably argue maybe three. So yeah, I mean, I'd be very surprised if Luiz is not still on Arsenal's list, given the way he's developing.
Another trio of special guests now, as the Mirror's chief football writer, John Cross, Gary Cottrell of Sky Sports News, and Art de Roche of The Athletic get involved.
I'm John Cross from the Daily Mirror, and I think Arsenal desperately need and should sign a centre-forward in January. When I asked about what was the premise of this fantasy signing, was it an absolute fantasy or a realistic one? And I was told that it has to be someone that Arsenal could theoretically sign in January. So with that in mind, it has to be Ivan Toney from Brentford, who I do think at the right price would probably be available. Could Arsenal get him? Will Arsenal get him? No, I don't think so, to be honest, because I just think that Brentford won't want to sell right now. They've got enough players leaving. They've got problems of their own. And also Arsenal, let's be honest here, are restricted, I think, a little bit by FFP. They're up to their limit unless they sell a big one, which I'm not convinced they'll do. Arsenal so clearly need a ruthless finisher. The game against West Ham really emphasised that. I really think so. Don't get me wrong, I think he's just a great player. But you could play him wide left, give Martinelli a break and put someone else through the middle. Honestly, it would make a world of difference. I think it would give Arsenal the title charge, the turbo boost that they really need. That, along with, honestly, the atmosphere, so needs sorting out. And I think a centre-forward would lift the mood at the Emirates, which I don't think has been so good atmosphere-wise. What on earth have they done with the ticketing? It's not as good this season, and that's a big issue too.
This is Gary Cottrell from Sky Sports News. I'm going to go up front, despite the defensive frailties we're now seeing at Arsenal as well, but not Ivan Toney, because I don't think Brentford will sell him in January. Another player, though, that we know Mikel Arteta is a fan of, Dusan Vlahovic. Juventus wanted, around 50 million, didn't they? That was too steep for Arsenal. But Juventus have financial problems, ongoing financial problems. No European football, of course. Vlahovic isn't as prolific this season as he has been in previous seasons, but he's not been playing 90 minutes, either coming off or coming on. And I think they would listen to a cash plus player offer. There's also the imponderable of this new tax rules in Italy, which means that tax breaks for foreign players, big foreign players, will no longer be available. Don't know how that will affect Juventus or other Italian teams yet, but it is something for them to consider.
Hi, Art de Roche here from The Athletic, and my pick for fantasy signing for the January window isn't a surprise. I think it's Ivan Toney. He just seems like somebody who is what Arsenal need, has what Arsenal needs in terms of the attributes that are slightly different up front to Eddie Nketiah and Gabriel Jesus that could make a real difference. I think the West Ham game the other night was a real example of what Arsenal were missing in the final third, in terms of just some incisiveness in big moments. And I think Toney's someone who has that and has the technique to link play really well too. But I think it's quite clear at the minute that Arsenal's priorities aren't really to do with that area of the pitch, even if people think it should be. So two other options that may be decent. I know Gerald Hayter has been mentioned. I'm not sure if a 17-year-old would be starting regularly for Arsenal this season. So another option who also has a contract ending in 2025 is Lucio Gertruda at Feyenoord, former teammate of Reece Nelson. Similarly, versatile to Timber, can play right back, centre back, and as a six. But I guess the big question is, do you want to undo all the, I guess, scouting work that's gone into recruiting Timber in the first place? So, yeah, those are the names that spring to mind for me.
Crossy was getting very political there, guys, when he talked about ticketing. But I think we need to have the Ivan Toney chat, don't we, Simon? It seems to be the one that everyone's talking about, not necessarily just for Arsenal, but the one name that this January could be. This could be the saga, I suppose, couldn't it, of the January window?
It does feel like that, doesn't it? And you know, I think he would be. You know, we've spoken a bit on him about Premier League proven, and you know, he ticks that box quite massively, given the goals he scored for Brentford in a team that's, you know, not competing at the top of the league. I think the big issue with Tony is going to be the money and the fee that Brentford are going to want, and the fact that, you know, Arsenal already owe them $27 million for David Raya. So if you turn around and suddenly you've got loads of money, they're going to be a bit like, what the hell's going on? Or if you then go, look, can we just add a bit onto our tab and pay you even more in the summer? I'm not sure that's going to fly. And also there's Brentford's own form. You know, you look at them, they've really struggled recently. They've been sort of dragged into that relegation battle. I mean, Ivan Toney is pretty much your silver bullet to get out of that. You're going to go and sell him and risk your Premier League future. So I think it's a really difficult one to do in January. I think maybe a few months ago, it might have looked a bit easier. I think now it's going to be hard. I think the summer would make a lot more sense for all parties. I mean, clearly Tony wants to go to Arsenal, doesn't he? I mean, we heard him on, what was it, the High Performance podcast? Or no, what's High Performance? CEO podcast. And then I saw another...
Doesn't matter. No other podcast needs
yeah, I saw him doing a clip from a few years ago also talking about playing up front for Arsenal. So clearly he's, you know, keen for the move. But it just feels to me one that's can't be done in January, which means it will now happen and I'll get abused for it. So.
Sam, I wanted to ask you, obviously someone who's quite across things at Brentford, the injury to Kevin Sharder is also should play a part in it. Like whether whoever Ivan Toney would have eyes on going for Brentford now, the cost of keeping him is almost outweighed by the need to keep him for the goals, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, there are three scenarios for Brentford's season. One is they exceeded expectations and were on the brink of pushing for Europe, in which case you don't want to sell Tony now. The other is slipping towards relegation zone and being in a relegation fight, which I think is what's happening currently. And in that scenario, you don't want to sell Tony either. The only way in which you can really think for them it makes sense to cash in now is if they were completely mid-table, totally safe, but also not within a shout of Europe. And that's not where they are. Maybe that will change in the next 3 or 4 weeks, but I can't see that being the case, to be honest. And yes, they would technically get more money for him now in January than they would in the summer. But that's only if there's someone out there now willing to pay huge money. And I don't think there is really. I mean, you know, we've all seen what Chelsea are like in the transfer market under their new owners. Maybe they drop a massive, massive amount of cash on him then. Maybe Spurs come forward and drop a massive amount of cash on him. But I'm struggling to see a way in which he leaves Brentford this month. But yeah, no, I completely agree with the guys on who've sent in their suggestions that as a player and a profile and also as a leader, I think Tony would be a really great addition, but I just can't see it happening.
There's the Vlahovic one as well that Gary mentioned. That obviously, Arsenal are fans, so that it's another one that maybe would be a bit cheaper, but it's the risk of a man who's never played in the Premier League. Whereas I think the only risk of getting Tony in, other than financial, would be how quickly does it take him to get back up to speed, I suppose. But he's not been injured, we have to remember. You know, he's not. I know he's not been playing football, but this isn't a guy who's coming back from a long-term injury, needs all that game time. So it would be a very interesting one. Our last three special guests now present their cases as we hear from James Gearbrand from The Times, James Benj of CBS, and Haters TV Supremo Nick Callow.
James Gearbrand from The Times. I think if I was to pick a fantasy January signing for Arsenal, and we're talking real fantasy stuff here, but I would probably go for Xavier Simons, the PSG winger who's currently on loan at RB Leipzig. I think what Arsenal really need right now is someone to take a little of the load off Bukayo Saka and Gabriel Martinelli. It's become clear that Mikel Arteta doesn't really trust anyone else to play in on the wings. And also I think that the consequent load on Saka and Martinelli is probably, you know, negatively affecting them. To add someone like Simons, I think would give Arsenal probably the best young group of wingers, probably, I mean, you know, arguably in world football. Simons, 20 years old, he's an exceptional young player. He's an assist machine. He can play on both sides. I think he would be very coachable. Ultimately, I think he could probably even be developed to play one of the midfield eight roles in the long term. So if we're talking real fantasy signings, I think I would probably go for someone like him.
Hi there, this is James Benj, Premier League correspondent with CBS Sports. obviously recording this in the aftermath of Arsenal's 2-0 defeat to West Ham, I think everyone watching that game would have said, Arsenal need a centre-forward who can put the ball in the net reliably. But looking at the January window, even with an element of wish fulfilment in mind, I just can't see that there's a path to a player like a Victor Boniface or a Victor Osimhen. So I'm looking at maybe a player that can add competition and depth in the wide areas where we can see that Gabriel Martinelli is struggling a little bit. And I love the look of Johan Bakayoko at PSV. Takes a lot of shots, dribbles a lot, commits players, creates chances for himself and others. Arsenal saw, I think, in the Champions League ties that this is a player that can really, really test good defences. I don't know if he would be entirely available in January, but he's a promising 20-year-old, a player that I'd love to see Arsenal take a shot on.
Nick Callow here from Haters, some say Haters TV. My perfect fantasy January transfer signing for Arsenal, well, he was standing pitch side at the last Arsenal match I covered when they got beaten by West Ham just after Christmas. So maybe that's a sign that he's already lined up. I'm talking about none other than Thierry Henry, the last king of Highbury. He came back before and scored goals on his return after playing in America. And I don't know how old he is now, 45, 50. But he looks pretty trim and lean. And I reckon put him back in as an impact sub and it will be the perfect January window signing to get Arsenal to the title. He certainly would have scored a few goals in that match against West Ham. If they can't get Thierry back, then Ivan Toney's got to be the guy. 100 million will be worth it if they win the league. Can they get around the FFP? Who knows? But Edu must know you need at least 3 or 4 good strikers to win a title. They had so many when they last won it. So, yeah, there we go. Henry or Toney?
Nick always delivering the goods there, guys. Weirdly think that would probably happen above them signing Jesse Lingard. So we can... Sam, we've had the Toney chat, so we won't go back there. But what do you think of James's chat about Bakayoko?
Yeah, very interesting, and actually someone who was on my list as well. I can actually deviate away from fantasy chat, and I think I've got actual information, and I don't think he's on the move in January. That's all I don't think that's expected. That might still change, obviously, depending on the offers. But I expect he'll stay until the summer and then we'll have a long list of clubs after him. Brentford tried to get him in the summer window, had a big offer, club record offer, I think in excess of 30 million. And that didn't go through. He was quite happy to stay put and play in the Champions League with PSV. And yeah, clearly he's going from strength to strength. My fear with him is that it's not whether he's good enough, really, or whether he will be good enough. But it's that, again, that Saka factor of, does a young player come in who's 2 years younger than Saka and accept that he's going to be competing with him? I also don't know Bakayoko well enough to know if he can play on the left wing as well as the right. I've only seen him on the right when he's looked pretty good. But yeah, he's certainly a player who I think a lot of clubs will be interested in. And knowing that Arsenal have been looking at wingers before, I can imagine he's certainly one they're discussing at the very least.
Well, Bakayoko was on your list, Sam, and you are still dining off the Martin Odegaard suggestion of a few years ago. So I thought we'd save your choice to be last, but very much not least. So chuck some names at us, Sam.
Yeah, I must admit, I've slightly gone against the rules and I've kind of looked ahead to the summer window as much as January. But the two names I'm going for, first is Frankie de Jong at Barcelona. I think given the midfield evolution that's required at Arsenal, I think De Jong could come in and he could be the 6 in some games. He could be an 8 in some games. Rice could play 8. De Jong could play 6 or vice versa. I think he's young enough. I think he's probably expensive, but gettable in the sense that Barcelona will need to generate some cash. And I think he perfectly fits the game model and the system that Arsenal are trying to create. And he's just like, whenever I've watched him play, and I know he's not really set the world alight at Barcelona in the way that people expected him to after his Ajax sort of breakthrough, but he's really, really a top class player. And I think he'll add an element of creativity and technical class when in, you know, to a team that's already got a lot of it, but another player like that doesn't hurt at all. And the other player, you guys are going to hate me for saying it, and maybe a lot of Arsenal fans will hate me for saying it, but get Mudryk. Just go to Chelsea and get Mudryk. Chelsea are not going to get the top 4. They've spent loads of money. They've got a load of money outstanding. They've got to pay these clubs. At one point, they're going to need to make some sales. They're going to have to take some money in. And I can tell you right now, there's not going to be a long queue for Chelsea's players they've bought on 9-year contracts, 8-year contracts. There's just not. No one's taking these players off their hands. You go to Chelsea, you slap an offer on the table and say, we scouted Mudryk for months. We spoke to him. We knew what we were doing. We're going to take him off your hands. Get him to the club he wanted to join in the first place. One-on-one against Martinelli, competing for a spot in the team. Watch him thrive. Watch him become the player that everyone knew he can be, rather than this slightly mismatched Chelsea version. Just get Mudryk.
You got to let this go, mate. You've got to just just let it go. Just let Mudryk go. You know, just get over it.
Incredible. I think Mudryk would fall into that camp as well, though, wouldn't he? If you've got two wingers, and what are you doing, dropping Martinelli, or do you have them competing? Or I can't believe we're having this conversation, but in your mind, does he start over Gabriel Martinelli?
There's 50 games a season. The whole point is what we're saying is you need Martinelli having a backup. You can't have him coming off for Trossard, who's a different sort of player every week. You can't have him starting every game either. He's got 2 goals in 18 games this season. He needs a bit of time to rest and recover and get his legs back. And Mudryk ticks the boxes, my man. He ticks the boxes.
I meant more from the perspective, would Mikhailo Mudryk come if you said, oh, we want you to be backup to Gabriel Martinelli?
I think he'd back himself to overtake Martinelli.
Yeah,
and you've got De Jong. I like De Jong. Simon, what do you make of the De Jong suggestion? I like that one quite a lot.
Yes, big fan of De Jong. And I agree with Sam. That is another part of the team that's going to be, you know, a big evolution point. And I think someone who is, you know, they've obviously added the size with Rice and Havertz as well, but you're going to need someone who is that sort of technician, that passer. Seems like a very ideal replacement long term for Jorginho. And I think, you know, yeah, for me, it would make a lot of sense. I imagine he's very much a player that Arteta would like. And if you can think of a midfield that has sort of De Jong, Odegaard, and Rice in it, that sounds pretty good, I think.
Yeah, it's De Jong or McTominay, isn't it?
Well, I was thinking, because I was thinking if you've got Lingard, the obvious move would be to get McTominay in with him.
Yeah,
very much like idiots here. Kai's going to be the right man when on January 31st Jesse Lingard's at London Colney holding up a shirt with his name on the back.
Yeah, moonwalking into the Emirates Stadium again. We'll run some kind of poll and get the listeners' views on this, who they think should sign. I think Tony might come quite high on that list. I think Lingard, we'll get one vote, but we'll see where we go. Seems only fair to round things off with a game of Guess the Gooner. So, for the first time in 2024, guys, let's play Guess the Gooner. I won league titles in 2 countries before I joined Arsenal. I was named in the Swiss Super League Team of the Year in 2016. I scored senior international goals against Portugal, France, and the Netherlands. In total, I scored 16 senior international goals in 131 caps.
Stop.
Simon Collings.
Stefan Lichtsteiner?
Incorrect. But in those 131 caps makes me the 4th most capped player in the history of my country. I played for 7 club teams during my career. Arsenal was the only one where I failed to score a goal.
Stop.
Sam Dean.
Oh no, I think I got my dates wrong. Are you Gael Clichy?
I am not Gael Clichy.
You went to Switzerland, but maybe I got the wrong time.
I was at Arsenal when they won the 2014 FA Cup, but I was not part of the matchday squad. I made my Arsenal debut. Oh, Simon, Simon.
No.
Jesse Lingard. I made my Arsenal debut as a substitute for Thomas Rosicky in a Premier League clash with Swansea in March 2014.
Stop.
Yo.
Kim Kallstrom.
Ah! January transfer special. It had to be Kim Kallstrom as guest of Guna, didn't it? I'm quite glad I had one clue left, which was I joined the club on loan 2 months earlier, but managed just 4 appearances before leaving in the summer.
I think he scored his penalty in the FA Cup semi-final. I think that was his only crowning moment from memory.
His contribution.
I made like a slightly sort of piss-takey tweet about Kallstrom a few years ago. Like, oh, just joking that he didn't do anything. And I didn't realise because all these Arsenal fans suddenly jumped on me, calling me all sorts of things for not appreciating the value of Kim Kallstrom. Turns out they quite like him. I had no idea. Wow, okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Kim Kallstrom, club legend. Get his statue outside the Emirates.
Brilliant.
I was maybe Callow will suggest him as a January signing.
get Edu back in a shirt.
He's the right age graphic, so.
Yeah, exactly. Guys, thank you for that. Let's wait and see. We might delete this podcast from our playlist by the end of January, depending on what happens, or we might laud it as once again being very much ITK. My thanks to Simon and Sam, and stay safe, everyone.